All right, everyone, I think we'll go ahead and get started. Good evening. Welcome to the brand new first meeting of the year, January 2010 ECAC meeting. I'm Mark Turner. I'm the chair of this ECAC, and we've got Van Alston here, the vice chair, and Sue Sturgis, our secretary, here as well. Charlene Willard is normally here with us, but it being a city holiday and that she lives not in town, she wasn't able to make it this evening. But thanks for everyone for being here. I just want to say that it's a great thing to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King by bringing the community together. So I'm glad everybody came out tonight. This is really kind of what it's all about. So let's see. We've not met, I guess, since November, and a lot of stuff has gone on. Have a few announcements, I guess, to make as far as our success reports go. There was the New Bern Avenue study workshop that took place on December 2nd, where we had at least 100 people show up there to talk about their vision for New Bern Avenue. There was a lot of discussion going on, a lot of roundtable sort of discussions where people were getting together and deciding what they liked, what they didn't like about the New Bern Avenue area. And it was a very inspiring meeting to see everybody out there doing that sort of work. If you happen to want to take place or take part in the second workshop, that's going to take place on February 24th. That's the tentative date, I guess, for the next workshop. So that'll be actually after our February meeting. And I'll be able to remind you again about that before we get there. Before we go much further, who here is at their first CAC meeting? Raise your hand, please. Okay, cool. Yeah, I see a lot of people here. That's good. We do this every month, get together on the third Monday, and it's really sort of a forum where people get together and talk about their concerns in the community. We hear from the city on various programs, and also, you know, a good chance to meet your neighbors. So thanks for coming out tonight. Appreciate it. Even considering the weather, I think it's a great thing. Okay, so we have some meeting minutes back from November. I don't know if I got a chance to post these online like I normally do, but if you were able to pick up a newsletter at the door, they should be in there. And let me remind everybody, if you haven't already signed in, to make sure that you do that. We've got a little sign-in sheet there at the door, and we'll put you on our mailing list, and you'll be in touch with all the things that are going on here. So don't forget to do that, if you would. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
A motion.
Okay. And a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. Cool. We have minutes. Thank you. Let's see. Anybody else have any success reports to discuss this evening? Anything you want to mention? We might have other announcements at the end of the meeting, but if anybody wants to throw anything out here, now's a good time. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, you'll get another chance at the end of the meeting, so that's good. Let's see. From this point on, let's go ahead and move on to, let's see, Parks and Rec meeting. Are you ready, Christine, to come say hello? Great.
How's everybody doing this evening?
Good.
Good. Everybody enjoy the holiday? I need to pass these up, I guess. Thank you. We're getting in here at Parks and Rec for summer camp already. I know it's kind of early to be thinking about the summer, but planning ahead of time, we need to prepare for the summer for when the kids get out. And normally every year our summer camp brochure and registration starts March 1st, but there's a new a date with the city this year. Registration will begin February 1st. So if you're putting your kids, or if anybody's putting, know if anybody's putting their kids in summer camps across the city of Raleigh, Parks and Rec, let them know that summer registration will start February 1st this year. That means that you can mail in or drop off your registration. A job fair, we're also doing something else different this year. We're going to hold a job fair with Parks and Rec February the 12th from 11 to 2 p.m. at Marsh Creek Community Center. I don't know if everybody knows where that community center is. That's a new community center off in New Hope Road. But Parks and Rec is going to have a job fair from 12 from 11 a.m. To 2 p.m. And we're going to be accepting applications on site. You will talk with someone. It's all different part-time seasonal employment with the city of Raleigh. If your kids are getting out for the summer and need a summer job, working with the camps, we'll be doing those interviews, a little bit of interviewing and taking applications on site. So that's a great thing, the first time that we're doing this. So if you know anybody, please spread the word that we're going to be having that job fair. Also, there's going to be a new teen center. I don't know if you have seen the construction that's going on next to Tower Road Community Center to the St. Monica. It used to be a St. Monica's daycare. It is now going to be the St. Monica Teen Center, and that is ran by Parks and Rec. That will be, the dedication is scheduled for Friday, February 11th at 3 p.m. So that's going to be a great event. So if you're interested in that, please come out. Again, Friday, February 11th at 3 p.m. next to Tower Road Community Center.
Is that on State Street?
It's right down the corner of Tower Road and Edenton.
Okay.
Right where the Bojangles is, that building that's under construction, that's where it's going to be at. Also, Mordecai Free Friday. This is that you can take a tour of the historic house and grounds. There's no registration necessary. That is going to be January the 21st, 10 to 3 p.m. So if anybody's interested in going up to Mordecai and taking a tour, there you go. Also, they're going to have Junior Olympic basketball competitions, which is going to be February the 5th from 4 to 6 p.m. And that's going to be held at Green Road Community Center for ages 8 to 13. So if you know anybody that's looking to do any basketball competition, that's going to be at Green Road. And on the copies that you have as well, there is a Greenway Advisory Board place of location change. It is normally at the module, and it's going to be held at the JC Community Center. So if anybody's planning on going to that meeting, it's a change in a plan of location. So please take note of that. And does anybody have any questions? And also I have Leisure Legends. The new Leisure Legends are out for Parks and Rec from January through April. So if you're interested in any new programs or any upcoming events, please grab a Leisure Legend. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Chrissy. Let's go ahead and hear from Raleigh Police Department Officer Chris Koviak. Give us our update on what's happening in our neighborhood. Thanks.
In an effort to save paper, I have brought a computer. So if you all have any questions about a particular case that you saw on here, because usually we take about 30 minutes up here, I'm only scheduled for 15 to 20. So to save y'all from seeing you all night, after I'm up here, you have a particular case you want to talk about, come to the back and I'll run the information and we can talk in more detail about it. Okay? You have plenty of time to look at it. Does anybody have any questions as of now?
I've got some questions. I see a couple of locations that keep popping up. One was 1031 North King Charles, the drugs on people's engagement.
Yes.
Is that a house?
No, that's the old DMV building back there, the general store. And what that is all these drug calls are a result of officers getting out and making proactive arrests. That's why I put them on there so y'all can see that, yeah, there's not a huge drug problem out here, but they're stopping vehicles, they're stopping people, suspicious people when y'all call them in. And they get out there and they give drug paraphernalia, they get weapons, all types of stuff like that. And at that store is a high volume of traffic after hours and even during the day. So when they go out there, they, for those specific cases, you want me to look it up, I can look it up afterwards, tell you specifically what happened. But that's normally what happens out there is the officers go out there, they do security checks, get out on foot. Like me, I'll sit in there for 2 hours in the back room and look at the video camera as I'm walking in and out and see them dealing drugs in the front. And then we'll call in other officers and make arrests.
And the other place I was, 2,000 and 3,000 New Bern. What are those?
3,000 New Bern Avenue is Lake Med.
Okay,
yes. Are you talking about the sex offense in particular?
Yeah, so that's just what got reported.
Well, that it was that particular case was a patient who reported that a doctor had sexually assaulted her. And the Wake Med police called us in to have an outside independent investigator there.
And the other one was 2000 New Brunswick. That's in the shop.
2000. I'm not sure exactly what 2000 is. Is there a specific case on here?
Let's see. I just saw this right here.
Drugs. While that pops up here, I'm going to give you some stats. We had 23 residential burglaries this last 2 months, which isn't too bad. Not last week, but the week before, we did a burglary project up there off Chastain. They had 14 in a week just prior to the holidays. So we didn't get hit we got hit hard, but not as hard as they did. They got 14 in 1 week, and they're still getting them. They had several last night when I was listening to the radio. But out of those 23, 14 of those occurred during the day. And by day, I mean anytime from like 06 to, I think 7 o'clock is where I cut off, or 6 o'clock is where I cut off the day shift. And then from 7 till early in the morning, we had, considered nighttime, we had 9. Out of those, in total, 10 of them had rear entry. They came through the back doors. 7 of them came straight through the front. One of them was the attempt on Mark's house. 3 came from the side, and 2 were unknown. Things were missing, but all doors and windows were locked, and there was no evidence of a break-in. But we still take the report anyway. And 1 was through a garage. Now, I do want to say, Mark can attest to this, we were out there, and we got in a foot chase not too long back. We were with a suspect that they caught for burglaries. And I think he admitted to like 14 or 15 of them in that area alone. So there's a couple of them that they're still trying to see if he is involved in. But once we caught him, they ended up, he said, "I'll tell you anything you want."
And that was that handsome young man.
Yes, sir, it was. And I was glad to be a part of it.
What is he taking? Is this the stuff he's looking for, or is he just breaking in?
Just breaking in. So most of them is crimes of opportunity. Oh. Is if people leave the front door unlocked, leave windows open, they're just going to go in and do it. The ones up in Chastain, those were all, I think they were all kids because they stopped occurring after school started again. We had 39 proactive drug arrests this week. All right, 2000 New Bern Avenue is showing us right there by Kennedy Street, Kennedy and New Bern Avenue. So I'm thinking it might be that shopping center that's out there where the auto parts is. And if you go up a little further on the left-hand side, you have, on the right-hand side, you have Ferris Court, the old Family Dollar. So I'm thinking it's somewhere in that area. A lot of times, if there isn't a specific address, they just put the block number, like 2000. That's why sometimes when you'll see these reports, you'll say, man, there's like 100 of them for the specific number, but it's actually officers put the block there because there's no actual address where they occurred or where the person says, I have no idea where exactly I was, but I was in this block of the neighborhood or something like that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. We've had 15 larcenies for motor vehicles. I haven't had the opportunity to particularly look those ones up because I wanted to get the burglaries and look at those and see if there was any type of pattern so they can let you guys know. But if you have any specific questions about those, just let me know and I'll look them up on here for you. We'll go into the motor vehicle theft. I think Scott done this before. Okay, the first one you see here on Hodges Street was domestic related. They knew each other. Somebody took someone's car that they knew. It wasn't a random one. They didn't break in the house. They didn't leave the car running. They knew who the suspect was. The one on Calumet Drive was random. That one was kind of odd when I was reading it because the lady said, I have the only set of keys to my car, but the car was missing and there's no glass. She says it was locked, windows were rolled up and all that, but there's no glass on the ground. There's nothing that shows that her vehicle was broken into on that spot, unless they carried a room and cleaned up their mess. But I'm not sure if they did that or not. They're getting pretty smart nowadays. Park Glen, that one was also domestic related. They knew. When I say domestic, it doesn't necessarily mean husband, wife, but it's just they knew one another. It wasn't a random occurrence. 508 King Charles, a scooter was taken out of the back. There wasn't much information in that report from the victim. They just said my scooter was taken. And then the next two on Raleigh Boulevard is odd, because there are two vehicles, two different apartments right next to one another that were stolen on the same day at the same time. So unless it was three people rolling in at the same time, saw two vehicles stolen right next to one another. There wasn't a lot of information provided by the victims, so there really wasn't much to go on that.
Sounds like somebody with a rollback.
Maybe. But we checked our tow logs. Now, it might have been repos. A lot of times when they find out that it is repossessed, they won't call us back to tell us, and it's still in there as a motor vehicle larceny, but it depends on the person. And then the one on Rush Street, this one's odd too, because it was a vehicle that was, because on Rush Street they have the towing company out there. I think it's Ace, is it Aces that's out there? What is it?
Prices,
you're right, there you go. But the vehicle was there on the lot in the gated area. They had the keys in the car, but the victim came back the next day, the vehicle was gone. So the Prices doesn't know what happened to it. All right, next thing I looked up was the robberies. And we've had two random robberies out of the five. The one on Gibney and the one on Crabtree Boulevard. That actually happened right in front of the Greenway. And I remember not too long ago, someone was concerned about the traffic and the foot traffic on the Greenway. With that, I'm going to take note and try and get some of that foot patrol and horse patrol and bike patrol out there in that area. And I'm not seeing a pattern this time, so I'm just going to do it randomly until hopefully we'll catch somebody. We'll start doing what we call field interview reports and just take down people's name and information, you know, nefarious subjects, not just any random person, just people that we think that are up to no good out there, you know, whether they're doing drugs or just the wrong place at the wrong time, you just know they're not supposed to be there. So we'll get those. We'll have a good history of who's hanging out in that area. In case another crime does occur, we can potentially put together a lineup and you can come and people will identify the victim or the suspect. Yes?
With the Greenway of Crabtree Boulevard, are you looking at just the section between Raleigh Boulevard and Capitol, or off that where it dead ends, the entry, dead entry at Crabtree Boulevard?
I'm going to do the whole thing.
I'm going to do the whole thing. Any incidents have happened?
That one was right there at the entrance on Crabtree Boulevard. Yes, it was a Crabtree in Raleigh. I think there's that one that goes right there. Excuse me, that's where this incident occurred. And there was other concerns in prior CAC meetings about the other side where it comes from Crabtree Boulevard, the other side.
Where it dead ends at Somerset.
Yes.
There. Yeah.
Yes. That's where I go. So, I mean, I really haven't seen any real cause for concern. It's the first robbery I've seen in that area in probably about a year or two. But we are going to keep an eye on that. We'll have increased patrols out there. If you look at our sex offenses, two of them were domestic, kid on kid. And then the third one was the one I told you about at Wake Med. Other than that, we'll finish up with the weapons in the back. Most of these weapons calls were same thing as the drug calls, officers being proactive, getting out, getting people with concealed weapons, as knives and guns. One in particular on New Bern Avenue, 1830, the officer pulled up doing a security of the area, was talking to the individual, realized he had a warrant, took him in for the warrant. As he was searching him down, instant arrest, he found a gun on him. So hopefully he deterred a crime or a robbery or a murder that night. There's a weapons call on Hawkins. It went out as a shooting. The person was actually shot, but it went out as someone else shot him. When he got there and the officers talked to the individual, it turned out that he shot himself. There's one on King Charles Road, and that one was a student brought a gun to school. And that was Officer White. He was out there doing foot patrol at the school. He was on campus, walking around where he was supposed to be, stopped him, talked to him, saw the bulge in his pocket, searched him, got a gun. What's that? That's Longview.
Was it a student?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, other than that, some good news is our grant money got approved. It's been approved since November. We got the letter of intent. We're just waiting on the Crime Commission to give us the okay, and our grants manager is going to take it up to the City Council. As soon as that happens, we're going to have random foot and bike patrols in this whole area for as long as that money lasts. This is something that we came together as a community in concern, and so we went ahead and did a pop project, went up to the, and this year, I think there was usually like $2.5 million in this grant, but this year they only had $150,000 for the whole North Carolina region. We got like $25,000 of it. So, and that's because the way that we presented in the crime, and then it's the fact that the citizens are involved and they're calling. We have CAC meetings. They weren't willing to give us money at first because they didn't want to fund any new activities. But when we get up there and we spoke and we pushed it into them, we gave them the numbers, showed them the crime, the impact in the area, talked about Raleigh North, talked about the neighborhoods around that are coming up, and they gave us $25,000 of it. So you should see, as soon as we get that letter or whatever the Crime Commission gives us to take to the City Council, you should see officers out there on bike, on foot. And I think today they put in the key fob, finally, for the community office, so other officers will be able to go in there. Prior to this, I was handing out keys. I was making them myself and giving them to officers. So they were out there at a limited time. Not every officer had a key, so the ones that did have it went out there. So you should see all that happening within the next month. Yes, ma'am?
I have a question. Is there a way to improve communication between the neighborhood watches and the police office? Because we find, like, there was a break-in, and we knew about it because one of the watch members was supposed to house it, this house, and there was a break-in there. We couldn't get any information out of anybody. We had to go and talk to that little girl who saw the people break in to get a description.
Now, what kind of information are you looking for?
I mean, just a description when we know somebody was seen breaking in so that we can send it out.
Okay, a lot of times they don't... It's touch and go with stuff like that mm-hmm. because they don't want to let out too much information because they don't know who's who. Like, I know all the people that come here, we're upstanding citizens, but there could be some nefarious characters out there that they say, oh man, that sounds like Bobby. Hey Bobby, man, they're looking for you. And then it ruins the investigation. So they keep the investigation kind of airtight until at such time they determine, okay, we need to put out what y'all probably know as APB. We call them buzzos, be on the lookout. And at that time, we can pass out that information.
And that's... If they knew that an area has community watch, then they could at least contact us and say, there's been a burglary if you see anybody suspicious.
Yes, ma'am. And what we're doing now is myself and the community officer squad and our crime prevention officer, Lisa Burglis, last week we went around to every single neighborhood, every single apartment complex, wrote down streets. I emailed Mark about the community watch to see how many active community watches we really truly do have that are participating in this. And we're going to kind of try and set up a hierarchy so that there's a phone list. You know who you can call so that everybody's not calling my phone or her phone or some random officer's phone. There'll be a hierarchy. Once that information gets dispelled, it'll come down and everybody will get that information. Because right now it's kind of, you know, it's all jumbled. We really don't have a chain of command. There's really no phone list or anything like that you can call. So it's kind of difficult. But once we get that up and going, we've already got all the information. Actually, I saw Lisa there tonight printing out a bunch of cards. So if anybody here lives in a neighborhood that doesn't have a watch and you really truly want to start one up, let me know out here and I can give it to Lisa Burglas and she has a different name now, but she'll get them going right away. I'll put you at the top of the list. Other than that, does anybody have any questions? Yes, sir.
This one might be drugs. 705
Glasscock.
I was just curious because I knew that's around the area where the shooting took place before. I
didn't
know if it was.
Yes, sir. I haven't. If you get with me after I get off here, I'll look that actual case up and I'll let you know what's going on there.
Is that Gray Street?
Yes.
A few months back, I think it may have been as far back as October, there was a shooting in our neighborhood. A guy was shot in his home. Well, I think the report was he was in his pickup truck. This is on Marlboro Road.
Yes.
And that's just right down from Powell Elementary. And we never heard back on it. We don't know if anyone was arrested or anything like that. And so some of the neighbors were concerned about that.
Yeah, there was no arrest. It was basically two kids walked up to him, saw him in his vehicle. They got into an argument. They said, whatever, we'll be back. left, came back, shot him in the leg, and left. So it was kind of, I don't want to say it was random, it was one of those things where it was provoked on both sides. They were, you know, they were attempting, they saw him passed out in the car. They thought he was a drug user or something like that, passed out in the car. So they went up and said, hey, give me your car. He said, no, screw you, blah, 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 blah. They got into a verbal argument. They said, fine, we'll be back. Left, came back, got a gun, shot him, and left again. But I haven't heard an update where they've captured anybody or even have any suspects. I know that there were some neighbors in the neighborhood that saw them walking around because an email went out close in time after it happened saying, hey, I saw some individuals, but I don't know what they were wearing. I don't know what they looked like. So, and that's the thing. In that case specifically, those two juveniles were walking around the neighborhood all day long, but nobody knew. Nobody got a good description of them. And even the officers didn't even do anything. So that's our fault, too. It's not, you know, saying that you guys have to be out your window every day looking to take a note on everybody, but it was a failure amongst all of us to say, oh, wow, these are some suspicious people in the neighborhood. And they may, you know what, when we do catch them, we may find out that they are kids that live in the area. So you didn't think anything of it because you know who they are. But you just don't necessarily know that they're involved in that type of activity. Yes, ma'am.
With regard to the shopping, the store of DMV that you're talking about earlier,
yes, ma'am,
and the drugs and other things that activity. At what point are y'all, I mean, how are y'all tracking those, and at what point is that area eligible to be declared a nuisance that maybe we could get some shut down?
I've already put that in progress. I've tried, but the thing is they work with us. The only reason we know about all that is from them. Those three robberies that happened at Lamb's Garden, we got the information from them because they know every single person that goes in and out of there. They have them on videotape. Like, that, you can't go in that store and buy something and not be on tape because they have a camera right here.
Okay.
So
I was not aware of that information. If they're working,
yes, ma'am,
with police departments, they're
working with us. But. And trust me, they're a nuisance. There are some things that they're doing that I'm not overlooking. I'm taking mental note of it. So once the area does get clear, because my fear is we take out that store right now, the one store where they can go and buy a single cigarette, go and not be seen by the cops, and, you know, take the change out of their pocket and buy a 40 ounce. You take that away, what are they going to do? They're going to start saying, oh, wow, I ain't got no money. I can't know where to go. I'm going to go rob somebody. I'm going to go to the food line. I'm going to steal everything I need from the food line. We don't need that. You know, so they're kind of, it's funneling a certain element into one spot. We like to call it a honey hole or shooting fish in a barrel because you can go there anytime and pick people up. And you see that with the drug calls and the weapons calls because that's where they go. Because they don't go in the main streets or the main stores because we're there. And since our office, 1 in 1100, there's been a lot of traffic back there with that store because they're scared to go to 1100 North Raleigh because our office is there. You know, I try to keep my car out there 2-3 hours at a time where I'll park there and walk around to the store and sit in their back office and look at their video cameras as people are walking in and out. So we're not overlooking it. Right now, it's going to once we take care of the element that in this area here, we're going to take. I've been in contact with, I think his name is Mr. Don Bruce, the owner of the property. He was even willing to give up that wooded area where that fire was right there. That's right between Raleigh Boulevard or Raleigh North and the Food Lion parking lot. He's willing to give that up to us to use. Do anything we want. Tear it down, put up whatever. He said, go ahead and take it and use it. So hopefully sometime this year, if we have the opportunity, we can get in there with him and talk to him and see if we can develop some type of playground or sitting area for the kids or for people just walking through, or just have a community garden. Like, if we get in contact with Laura Aiken again, that could be a spot where we can put our community garden. But I will take note of that, and we are out there all the time. If I were to run the security checks on that store, you'd probably get over 400 or 500 of them. Just officers being out there sitting in the parking lot, and how many arrests are actually made in that parking lot. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you for that, Officer Crisco. Always good to hear what's going on. One thing I didn't mention but I'd like to point out is that we have some community signs here. So if you want to put one in your yard, take one home. If you put one in your yard right before the meetings take place, it lets your neighbors know that we have meetings. And we've got four of them here tonight, and I'm hoping that I don't have to take any of them back home. So hopefully somebody here will be willing to grab one. With that, there was a brief time here in the agenda where I wanted to talk a little bit about community resources, and this is kind of an idea I've been kicking around. So we've got so many people in our community that know so many different things. Everybody's got their own professions, they've got their hobbies, they've got their skills, whatever. I thought it'd be kind of neat if we started some sort of series where somebody decides they want to offer a quick little class maybe on a weekend, showing other people, you know, something interesting. You know, maybe it's one of your hobbies, or you know, if you're a gardener, maybe you can talk a little bit about that or something, and we can sort of trade that that knowledge and information that everybody has. So that's one thing I've been kind of thinking would be cool to do, and if anybody is interested in maybe helping organize that, you know, it doesn't have to be very formal or whatever, but come talk to me, send me an email, cac-charitiesforraleigh.org, and maybe we can get together a little committee or something and you know, get some of these going. I think it'd be kind of cool. So if you've got some skills or something you think other people would like to know about, let us know, and we'll share it with the community. I think it'd be kind of cool. All right, let's hear now from Jim McClure from the City of Raleigh Inspections to talk a little bit about cold weather tips, and we're glad that you're here today. Thank you.
Good evening.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm not liking this weather that we're having out here. I'm from California, so this is all pretty new to me. I've only been out here for about 4 years. So, with that being said, go ahead and get right into this. Actually, before I get started, how many people here have rental property? Okay. Any rental property in Raleigh? Okay. Are you guys registered? Good. All right. Just wanted to make sure we were good with that. All right. I'm going to start off with preparing your home for winterization. And then from there, we'll go in and touch base on certain aspects that you guys can do to help save energy, gas, electric, so forth and so on. Okay, preparing your house for winterization. What you want to do, let me get my notes in the right spot. I apologize about this. Where is it at? Okay, want to make sure that you have your attics. And your, if you're on a raised foundation, underneath in your crawl space, you want to have everything insulated, best that it can be insulated. Okay, this will help cut down a lot on your energy. You also want to make sure that you have your pipes insulated. All right, you go through and you don't see any of your pipes insulated, try to get them wrapped. Have a plumber come out and wrap those pipes. Check underneath your crawl space. Check up in your attics. If you see a pipe and it's free, get it insulated. Okay, this will help you out a lot. Caulking around the windows. Make sure that all your windows are caulked and sealed real good. All right. I don't know if nice good gust of wind comes by, you feel a breeze inside your house. Anybody have that go on? If you do, that's because it's not sealed properly. I'm going to get that sealed. All right. This will help save on that electric bill. Does anybody here cover their windows? Plastic, utilize anything for storm situations or anything like that? Storm windows. You know, if you utilize your storm windows, it'll cut your electricity bill or your gas bill by at least 20% if you use them in the wintertime, if you just pop them on there. Okay. Also, if you don't have them, you can put plastic. It can be something as simple as like saran wrap. Okay. And you want to have a barrier in between there. So you have your window sills. You want to make sure that you put it on the outside of your windowsill. So you have that 4 to 6 inches. With that little gap in there, it'll cut your electric or gas bill. Okay. How many people here have a O2 or CO, excuse me, a CO sensor in their house? Carbon monoxide. Wonderful. Everybody should have a carbon monoxide detector in their house, right next to your smoke detector, if not have them one and the same. They do sell them. You can get them at Lowe's, Home Depot. They have them wired or battery operated or both. Okay.
That is a definite thing that you want to have, especially during the winter time. A lot of people are using and burning kerosene, so forth and so on. We're utilizing our fireplaces a little more than what we would. And certain elements that come off from those create your carbon monoxide. All right, and unfortunately, carbon monoxide, you can't see it. You wake up dead, so to speak.
Should this be placed next to the source of combustion or next to your bed?
I was actually getting ready to get to that. Thank you very much.
Sorry to cut you off.
It's all right. Your smoke detectors, your CO detectors. CO detectors, you actually want to have them a little bit lower, but if you get them one and the same, they should be located right outside of every, it's actually a requirement per code to be outside every bedroom, every room that is being used as a bedroom, okay? So if you had minimum housing, which is where I'm from, if we come in and we were to do inspection of your rental properties or your house, okay, we would be looking for, you can have a living room that you've converted into a bedroom. Just, and we see it all the time, okay? You have to have a smoke detector there, plain and simple. You also have to have certain other criteria to meet the requirements that we require for that transfer over, but you would have to have a smoke detector there. Within 2.5 feet of that door needs to be a smoke detector, okay? So typically they're in the hallway or just on the inside of the doorway, okay? Good place to put them. Heading into things that people really don't think about.
I thought it was actually one per level. This morning I read it, one per level of CO2. You say one per, if you have a three-bedroom house.
One per level, yeah. All right, now for the CO, yes. But if you're having that again, that is if you have the combined CO and fire alarm.
Right. Okay. What if you have a separate?
If you have them separate, then it is one per level at that point.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And the requirement on that, getting into, since you have the rental property, right? Okay. The requirement on that is, if you have gas burning appliances, okay, or you have an attached garage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're stating when we get our phone calls right now, because we're actually going to be starting soon, taking over that. Right now, it's not under our codes yet, but it will be very soon. We're telling, if you have a rental property, put it in there, regardless. Just have it in there. Make it safe. Okay. But typically, that's what it boils down to. One per level, and you want to have it close to the garage and or kitchen, if it's the CO, and you want to have it, obviously, and it's centrally located on the second floor. Okay? Any other questions on the fire alarm or CO? No? Okay, good. Keep a fire extinguisher handy. All right, you want it. Not everybody does it. It's not something that we think about. But keep a fire extinguisher handy, and let everybody in the house know how to utilize that fire extinguisher. Okay, they're not very expensive. You can pick them up relatively cheap again at the Home Depot, or even Walmart, or I've even seen them at Sam's Club. So, and they're relatively inexpensive. If you picked up two of them, showed your kids, if you have kids or grandkids or whatever the case may be, how to utilize it, and then have the other one there as a safety feature is very, very, very good. Not getting into, I really don't want to recommend, you know, spending money or anything like that, but it is always good to have your heater checked, your AC checked, you know, prior to the summertime. This will save you a lot of money in the long run if you have it checked every year. All right, have whoever your plumbing guy is for your HVAC, have them come in and take a look at it. Make sure it's good to go. All right, you might have a leak in there that you don't know about. That'll cost you more money in the long run, especially in your energy bill. That's where you're going to see it real quick. My compressor went out. Did not know it went out. $500 later, I realized it. That's what my bill was for that month in the summertime. Okay, so get that looked at. I have two units, that's why I didn't notice the difference. I have an upstairs and a downstairs unit, and the upstairs is actually a better unit, so I didn't notice it right away. Get with a contractor, have them check your roof, make sure there's nothing blocking any of the drainages if you have a flat roof. If you do not have a flat roof,
haven't checked for weeks. Okay? You don't want to have a lot of snow on that roof and then it start leaking. You're not going to get a contractor to get up there with snow on the roof. It's not going to happen. If you do, he's going to charge you an arm, or she will charge you an arm and a leg. Make sure your animals, make sure they're sheltered pretty good. Make sure they have a lot of water. With the heat being on the inside, if you have any animals, they drink a lot more water. It's drier heat. And just kind of look out for them a little bit, something that I wanted to throw out there. How many people use kerosene heaters or supplemental heaters? No supplemental heaters at all? No floor heaters or anything like that? Wow, that's good. That's real good. Then I won't. I'll just skip right over that and go right into the next thing. That's nice. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'll go ahead and since you said that, I'll go ahead and head into preparing for possible isolation in your home. Make sure that you have a significant amount of heating fuel, whatever the case may be, firewood, whatever. If we lose our electricity, a lot of times, how many people go and flip the switch and turn on their fireplace? Just me? Okay. All right. You want to make sure that if you do have a fireplace, you have ample amount of wood. We are getting into the colder part of the winter. We just finished having an ice storm. We're lucky. Did anybody lose power? You lost power. Yeah. See, so plan on having that power. If it goes, it can be out for, I believe, what, 5 years ago? There was a really big ice storm that happened out here. And
8 days.
10 days.
Yeah. I was going to say we had, some people up to excessive 2 weeks. Okay. Does anybody keep a little kit, an emergency kit, in case the power goes out or anything like that? Good. All right. That's very good. You want to make sure that you have significant amount of food supply in your kit, dry food. All right. Obviously, you want to use whatever's in that refrigerator first. Get it out. That's pretty much all I have on that. I'm part of the FEMA team with the city of Raleigh, so if anything like that does happen, I'm going to be out in the field 24 hours. So it's something that I really didn't spend a lot of time researching on for you guys, and I apologize about that. Anybody use charcoal for their gas grill or for their grills? Charcoal. Don't bring it in the house. Okay. It does happen. People do bring their gas grills in. They also bring the charcoal grills in. They use it for heat. They don't know any better. We lose that power. You don't have that heat. Do not bring it into your home. Don't bring it into the home. Plain and simple. Your monoxide, if you have that detector, will be going off left and right. Okay. We had a bad fire. Mark, it wasn't too long ago we had a bad fire due to that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I believe you had mentioned me. So, was there a death involved with that?
Yes, there was.
So,
actually, that was a kerosene heater.
Right, that was a kerosene heater. Okay, I apologize. So be very careful with that. If anybody does use kerosene heaters, or you know of anybody that utilizes the kerosene heaters, and they utilize it for heating water, that used to be a big thing back in the day from what I've heard from my supervisor. Again, right now I'm wearing shorts in California this time of year. Okay, so I'm from Southern California, so I'm not used to this. He said that they put water on the kerosene heater, heat it up. Okay, if you know of anybody that does do that, or you see, try to keep the kids, pets, and everything away from that. Okay, you don't want anybody getting burned with scalding water or anything like that. Dressing for warm or for cold weather. Obviously, we want to use loose-fitting clothing. We want to layer up, at least 3 to 4 layers. Keep yourselves nice and warm. Cover your extremities. Make sure you have something for your nose. In my case, my head. Have your gloves. At least 2 pairs of socks. Any of you guys are like me that wear steel-toe boots? 3 pairs is a good thing. Guys, nylons, believe it or not, ladies, I envy you guys, because you throw those nylons on and that's a great source of, it's better than thermals. Okay? It truly is. My uncle was in the Navy. utilized. They went out and bought pantyhose. His whole crew went out and bought pantyhose because it was better than thermal underwear. Okay. So yeah, a bunch of Navy guys out there, you know. Hey, anybody that wasn't in the Navy, hey, you know. Now again, this was, you know, this was Vietnam era, you know, so I'm sure things have changed since then. You know, wear a hat, cover your mouth, just little things, you know, keep yourselves warm. Let me cover the car. And then I'll go ahead and close up, ask for any questions at that point. Make sure your antifreeze levels are significant, are sufficient, excuse me. Make sure you have what you need in that. Make sure your battery, look at that little gauge, make sure that gauge is reading good inside of your car, okay? I'm actually going tomorrow because I won't be able to start my city truck and getting a new battery for it. It's bad, okay? I let it set for more than 3 days and it goes. So my appointment's for tomorrow, so I'm getting a new battery for it. Check your brakes. Everybody has a tendency when we get a little ice out there, they like to hit that brake and not slowly tap that brake. So we utilize our brakes a lot more in this time of year. Okay. So make sure that the fluids are good, the wear is good. Check your exhaust system for leaks. Make sure, I'm sure you guys seen it out there first thing in the morning heading to work. Those cars that are shooting those big old poofs with white smoke everywhere, black smoke, those are leaks. Okay, so check your car for those. Your fuel and air filters, make sure they're up to par and they're good. Make sure your heater and your defrosters are working properly. Make sure the lights, your hazard lights, work well. Check your oil levels, just common things, thermostat, just to make sure it's doing well. Try to, during this time of year, it's recommended from FEMA. That's where I pulled a lot of my stuff is FEMA. You can go onto their website and get the same information. They recommend at least a quarter to a half a tank of gas at minimum. Okay? This way, if something does happen and you're stuck, you have enough to keep you warm until you can get someone to safely help you out. A little kit for your car. You don't have to go do it, but just a little recommendation. You want to have a little shovel in there. I don't know about you guys, but I've got 3 windshield scrapers. Again, I'm not used to this weather, so I make sure I have a big one all the way down to a little one. Okay. A flashlight, a battery-powered radio, extra batteries, water, snack food, matches, extra hats, socks, and mittens, first aid kit with a pocket knife. Necessary medicines that you may need if you're on any certain medications, keep a little bit of extra. I used to take a medicine very regularly, and I had backup in my car, backup in my home, and backup at the common places I went to, so work, friends' houses, so forth and so on. That is a definite. Blankets, tire, chain, or rope, road salt or sand. Believe it or not, if you get stuck and you drop that sand or that salt on there and it melts away a little bit in that area, you can get out in about an hour or so. Okay. Jumper cables, emergency flares, and a fluorescent disaster flag or white flag. That's pretty much about all I have for here. I'm not that great of a public speaker, so thank you for bearing with me on that. Is there any questions that anybody has that I can answer?
I have a suggestion for your car too. It's like a lot of girls wear high heels, they should always throw a pair of sneakers in.
Yes, definitely. That would be good. Definitely.
Any audits or free inspections or anything along those lines for the heating or some of the things you mentioned earlier that City of Raleigh offers? Any kind of programs that can help people utilize energy more efficiently? When they come to your home, check out your windows, check out your AC, check out your heating, etc., insulation, and so on.
Typically, what happens is people give us a call, and we come out and make those types of inspections. Okay, that's not what our department is designed for, but they'll say we have a problem, and once we're told that we have a problem, we have to come out and do a full inspection. Okay, we don't check as far as is it running efficiently, but we do check to make sure that it is working properly. Okay. It is a code violation if the windows are not weatherized properly, if air or water or anything gets inside. So yes, we do cover that in our inspection. A lot of times you can get a hold of certain companies and you just have to call them and ask around. It's kind of a hit and miss thing. Plumbing companies, HVAC companies, they will come out and do a free assessment. A lot of times they'll come out because they're saying, okay, if I give this person a free one, they're going to call me if something happens. Okay. Some of them charge $40. Okay. But for the most part, from what I've gathered from talking to other citizens in the Raleigh area, there's a lot of companies out there that do it for free. Okay. As far as checking the windows and everything else, you might want to, if you have a handyman or a contractor, that you have to take care of your home, have them come out and check it out. A lot of time, back in California, I ran my own construction company, and every year I got phone calls from people and I never charged them because I was the person that they used. So I came out and said, look, this is what's wrong, or everything's fine. Okay. So a lot of times if you have a contractor that has done work for you, they typically will do that as a service for you. Things are tight right now, so they might have a little charge now, but I typically never charge. Any other questions?
I think Sears does it free. It's the little lady that walks around the store in Sears. Sears will come out to your home and do the efficiency and things like that, check for you.
Okay.
They ask you to use them.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Resources for seniors will also check your house for weatherization tips and stuff. So if you just look that up in Google.
You know a senior?
No, they'll do it for anybody. Okay. Yeah. And they did have some initial rules that you had to meet certain income requirements that they could start, but then they opened it up to a wider group of people. So check their website, and they've got details there. If you're also a natural gas customer at PSNC, they'll also come out and do a energy audit on your house for you. I think it's maybe $25 or something. It's PSNC, the gas
company. Oh, you're Progress, mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Well, not Progress, but
I thought that was still underneath the other ones. That's why I didn't mention that.
Okay, no, I think they've opened it up.
They did open it up, great, okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, Jim. That was very informative. Appreciate you sharing that. Next on our agenda, we're going to hear from Eddie Blair and Hadley Wilson. Are you there? Hadley Watson? Is Hadley? Okay. All right. Hey, looks like it's you.
Looks like it's me.
Talking a little bit about the shops at Brookside. Give you an update on what's going on there.
Yes. Hello. I am Eddie Blair, Blair Commercial Realty. I'm from Cary. And I've been hired by the folks that own the Brookside Lofts and Retail to represent the retail portion of that building. And probably most of you probably know more about that building than I do. I believe it began construction probably 3 or 4 years ago. The original builder ran out of funds, and so it just sat there. And a new partnership has been put together, and they obtained new financing. So they're working on the building, and probably 2-3 months from having it completed. The building's about 23,000 square feet, two stories, and on the second floor is the residential. They'll do residential condominiums. I think there's 7 of them that are 12 to 1,400 square feet. There is an elevator in the building and two sets of stairs. But I'm dealing with the retail portion, and that's approximately 10,000 square feet. The section right on the corner, the building's at the corner of Glasscock and Brookside, the southeast quadrant there. And the corner is about 4,300 square feet and has been designed as a grocery deli, and had a lot of interest in it, but no lease signed as yet, and no leases at all signed, but there's another 7,000 square feet of small shop spaces, anywhere from 600 to about 1,200 square feet. And of course, we could put those smaller spaces together to create maybe about 3,800 square feet. And I've been talking with, as I say, several people about the grocery deli. And on the small shops, I've had discussions with a barber shop and several ladies that have a creative marketing promotion company and an insurance company. and several other small businesses like that. We're trying to look at businesses that would be an asset to the community and be within walking distance. It's really a specialty center for the neighborhood. So it's underway, but as I say, no lease is signed yet. And if you know of any tenants that might have an interest, I've got cards. Please have them call me. Or if you know a specific type of business that you would like to see there, let me know, and I could maybe do some target marketing and find something that might work. We're trying to keep the retail as low impact. There's some parking on the street there, and parking at the center itself is not a great amount of parking, so we're not looking for any real heavy impact convenience store type of thing. I'd love to see like a specialty furniture store or something like that there, but that is about the story on that. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask me.
Even though you're not dealing with real estate portion, do you know what that, or residential portion, do you know how that's coming? I've seen people working. It looks like they're working upstairs on those, but I don't know.
They're working, and unfortunately, I don't know any details as far as how much they're selling for or leasing for, but they are finishing out the residential complete turnkey, so you could just go in and rent or purchase. The downstairs, they're leaving the small shops in shell condition, so whatever tenant might come along, and we're looking for office users as well, then we can do a custom fit up for that particular tenant. Now, the grocery deli on the corner, I think it already has a CO. It was designed as a grocery deli, has a walk-in cooler in there and a grill, snack bar. But the other shop, other spaces, they're just going to leave that there as is until the right tenant comes along.
So the commercial part is ready to go once it's leased, and the residential, do you know a time frame? Have you heard anything about that?
I would say 2 to 3 months. They're working on it daily. Mm-hmm.
So that's the completion for both of you. Will be ready to roll.
Yes, they would. And I've got a few flyers here that I'll leave on the table over there. And as I say, if you're interested, I can give you my card. If you email me, I can email you a flyer and whatever you might want to know about the building.
I have a question. How would the parking work as far as the tenant and the shoppers? Did they have permanent parking? Is there
going to
be residential there?
Yes, well, as I say, I wasn't involved in the initial design of the building, but I think there's 44 parking spaces there, and the concept was that the residential folks would basically use the parking in the evening, and then to a certain degree, certain extent, go off to work in the morning, and then the most of the parking would be there for the retail. But as I say, that's why we want the low-impact retail, because we just don't want to overload the parking lot, because I've been in situations where there's parking lot battles before, and there's no winners. If there's not enough parking in a building, it's just nobody's happy. So we'll try and keep tenants with a small amount of parking. That require a small amount of parking. Anything else? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. I seem to always be pitching things when I come up here, but I forgot once again about the ECAC refrigerator magnets. We've got a whole box of them there, so feel free to grab some on your way out, and we've got a nice reminder about the CAC meetings here on there. So these things are very heavy, and these are another bit of stuff that gets to be a pain, actually, hauling off to the... Exactly. That's exactly what I want to hear.
And you think the next time we come to the meeting, we might get... when you try to call the city, you have a hard time. You got so many different numbers. The numbers have changed. Can we get a printout so we can, if you have to call, I mean, it's hard to get mean, you don't yeah, direct it something because you can't. It's
I agree. I agree. Rebecca, do you have something?
I have one from Charlene that Lisa also when we were together. Mm-hmm. I can forward it to you to send out. It's updated now, so it's got all the current numbers.
Okay, and I know the city used to have a booklet about this size. It was sort of light blue in color, and it had all the city department phone numbers in it. And I believe I got it from the Raleigh Neighborhood College when I was attending Raleigh Neighborhood College. Since that time, the city has changed most of their phone numbers, so it's sort of out of date. But that's something that I've brought up with Charlene before, and I'll ask her again next time I see her if the city doesn't have a couple of extra copies of those. And we'll bring them here and put them down at the table if we do, because it's an awesome thing to have. In fact, yesterday I picked mine up to look up a particular number of solid waste services. So it does still come in handy. And some of the numbers still work, so I guess it's not all outdated, but we'll see if we can get some of those in here. I think it's a good idea. All right, now we've got, let's see, Chaz, are you here?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Come on up. Chaz Miller, the principal of Powell Elementary, is talking about the courtyard project that he's trying to spearhead and how we can help. So step right up if you would.
Thanks. Unless you have some yellow pages, I'll probably stand on the side here. Way too tall for that podium. Way too tall. First of all, I want to thank you very much. For those of you that don't know, Powell Elementary is actually writing a grant about $80,000 with Lowe's Home Improvement. And the trick to the grant is that we need community involvement with it. We're looking for about $80,000 to upgrade a courtyard we have, which is, if you don't know our campus, it's in kind of a U-shape, and then we have an area that's kind of boxed in, and it's beautiful. It's got grass, and it's got these big maples that have been around for years and years. And we just, some dads and I went in with some chainsaws this summer, and we just mowed down all these prickers and everything. It's a beautiful spot now. But we're looking to build a outdoor theater with sound and lighting, fully functional, so that we can do presentations. Of course, it's a magnet school, orchestra, band, drama, all kinds of things, dance out there through the spring, summer, and fall. And that would be for the community to come to as well. It would open up a whole new dynamic for us. And also do gardens there, specific gardens that would connect our curriculum into our science and curriculum into there. But what we needed for the grant was, and I talked with Mark, was a specific community connection. And the grant says that we can't pay for any contractor to come in and do any work. So to build an outdoor theater, we would need volunteers from the community. And so the Eastern CAC is a great vehicle for that. And as Officer Crisco has said, it's just the cohesiveness of this group in particular, I think, is very special, and I think could really help us a lot in gaining this grant. And of course, as a principal, they train us in really recognizing academically gifted people. And I'm looking at this group here, and I'm seeing academically gifted just all over you. So I'm looking forward to tapping into all your expertise. See, Clattery will get you everywhere. So again, I'm hoping this grant will come through. We're putting it in the end of this month. So you may see some emails coming out to you asking for your expertise, even just volunteering. Hopefully if we get this, just having the hands out here. And by the way, on a personal note, I'm so glad you didn't ask us to raise our hands if we wore, you know, the little things. That would have been a real awkward moment for the whole group. So I appreciate that. Just looking over at you now. But again, I'm really excited that we may get this grant. And even if we don't, I just mentioned this to Mark in passing, that I would love to add the Eastern CAC to the grants, because a lot of grants have community aspects to them. And again, such a cohesive, dynamic group such as this can be extremely helpful to us as a school with human capital, but also in us gaining that grant. So really, I just want to talk real briefly to you guys about that. But thank you very much for your support with this, and I look forward to working with you all soon. So thanks.
Thank you. That's
Thank you, Chaz, for that update, and be looking for the email with further information as we proceed with that. It's going to be an awesome thing. Okay, now let's see. We've got Dietrich Clark here, who's going to talk a little bit about the Benefit Bank, some of the opportunities that are available for people who are looking for grant money, I believe. So come on up here, Dietrich, and he's got some pamphlets to pass out. Awesome.
Well, thanks, Mark, for you know, inviting me this evening to speak to y'all as well as Rennell. I'm Dietrich Clark. I'm the Central Regional Coordinator for the Benefit Bank of North Carolina. What the Benefit Bank is, it's an online web service that allows individuals to apply for federal work supports. We do food stamps, we do FAFSA, Medicaid, Medicare, state and federal taxes, voter registration, as well as assistance with the heat and electric bill, which is the LIHEAP, as well as the CIP. The Benefit Bank is actually a national initiative. There are currently 10 states on the East Coast, pretty much from Florida all the way to Maine, that are, you know, participating in this initiative. It started about 4 years ago out of the state of Ohio. They were looking for ways to help those that were in need. So through that research, they identified billions of dollars, you know, in unclaimed funds. So in the state of Ohio, in a matter of about 3 years, they put more than $400 million back into the state of Ohio using Benefit Bank. Currently, there's over 4,000 trained counselors, over 1,200 sites in the state of Ohio. So, you know, of course, it worked there, so they said, why not take this show on the road? Here in North Carolina, we implemented the Benefit Bank of North Carolina last March. Since March, we have over 234 sites throughout the state. We're currently in about 65 counties, and we train over 1,000 individuals to actually, you know, help their community access these dollars. So one reason I'm here, you know, we try to do strategic partnerships, and I thought that one great partnership would be with the food line, to not only engage that community where food line is, but actually educate those people on Medicaid, food stamps, and so forth. So, you know, through, we've trained Duke University Medical Center, Wake Tech, St. Augustine's College is a Benefit Bank site, which I'm actually a graduate of. So we have a lot of organizations step up, Passage Homes that are in Raleigh that have, you know, partnered with us to, you know, train their staff or their volunteers to help their community access these dollars. So, you know, the reason being here is to, you know, get the support of your organization for potential organizations or individuals that are looking to, you know, help their community access these billions of dollars. So, you know, we've done pretty well. We've served over 14,000 families, you know, since our start. So, it's, you know, it's a pretty good initiative, and, you know, we're getting a lot of things done. We've put over $5 million back into those households just in food stamps alone. So I'm just here to, you know, let you all know, you know, what's out there and that we're here, and, you know, we're willing to, you know, partner with churches, community centers, for-profits, you know, assist in their community, you know, to put food on the table or, you know, to cover some of those overhead costs. Thank you. Any questions?
Do you have any more questions?
Probably in the car.
Dietrich, if there's a website address or something, is there something we can get people in case they want to find out?
Yeah, we have a website, which is www.thebenefitbank.com. And from that website, we have Quick Check. And what Quick Check is, in a matter of 3 to 5 minutes, individuals can see what federal benefits they're eligible for, just putting in basic information. So, you know, residents or, you know, people in the community can actually go there before driving to these different agencies, you know, for Medicaid and so forth, and then they can find an organization in their community that offers, you know, those services.
Very cool.
And I have cards too.
And cards, excellent. Okay, thank you very much, Chief. I appreciate that. Now, let's see, Ronell, do you want to come up and say a few words here? And by the way, we've gotten some food here from Food Line donated, so help yourselves once we're done here to grab a sandwich or something. And Ronell's got a couple things he's planning, so turn it over to him.
Nah, Marcus, how are you, man?
How are everybody doing tonight? I just want to come by and say thank you for supporting Food Line this year. I know some of y'all I talked to before that we were looking to close within 2 years. Since last year, that Food Line never put money on the bottom line. This past year we did. They're investing more things into that Food Line and also into the shopping center. So we're the new contract. We'll be around for a little while. We're not going to.
That's all we
got. But thank you. Like I said, I'm keep partnering up doing different things with my organization, also with Food Line. So I brought Deidre in February. We're going to have their mobile unit out there for 2 days, and also I partnered up with UNC Hospital. They're going to do eye, ear, and dental cleaning. I don't know the secret date yet, but I'm still waiting on that from UNC Hospital, and that'll be in February. And also coming up, me and Mark have already talked about our new community outreach coming up again this year. I would like to have ideas. Y'all can email me on things that might be better this year than it was last year. If some of y'all didn't come to the community outreach that was in the parking lot last year, we're going to do it again this year, back again in probably August. And we'll do the book bags and school supplies again this year. And I probably have some other things come along throughout the year through my organization, also partnering with Food Line. So I just want to say thank you for supporting the organization of Food Line and also me in making things happen at that organization, and also with Crisco. We're doing some good things. And I think this year, if it's not this year or next year, they're going to remodel all Food Lines in the area. So I can't remember if it's going to be 2011 or 2012. If it's in the budget, I don't know. Other than that, thank you. If you have any questions, let me know. Now, have a nice time.
Thanks, Bernal. I've been heading over to Food Line on a regular basis, and I'm happy to see that a lot of the storefronts are now, they have new stores in there. The pizza place there, the Little Caesars Pizza's got lots of company there in the out parcel. And the funny thing is I run into people all the time in that store. So almost every time I go there, I see somebody I know. So thank you for talking about that, Bernal, and we're happy that Food Line's part of our community. Definitely. All right, at this point, are there any other announcements that we need to cover before the end of the meeting? And don't forget the food we got over here. Make sure you grab some. Yes?
What is the status with Enroll and the noise that Enroll?
Good question. I need to follow up with the staff there and find out what the county is saying now about it. I think that we're in a situation where the county maintenance people think that the air conditioner is fixed and the staff doesn't. And, you know, they,
I think it was running yesterday.
It was
running yesterday.
And you could tell pretty easily. Yeah. Okay. All right, I will bring it up with them again, and I'll see if we can't get somebody to come out there and measure it. Yeah, okay. Very good. Thanks for bringing that up.
One little announcement. I meant to get more information before coming, but back when I was chair, when they started selling the First Citizens, I met with the people with First Citizens along with Octavia, and upon selling that building, they agreed to give $30,000 to the Boys and Girls Club and some other charities.
Mm-hmm.
Once they sold the building, they donated $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club.
Wow.
Let's
get First Citizens in here.
There were some other charities that are in Southeast Raleigh that they made some nice large donations to. So, the Boys and Girls Club, since that's like our back door, front door.
That's the old bank on the new ground?
I believe so. And Keith, you want to mention what's going on with there now?
You know what? I reached out to the owner who actually purchased that, and he told me he's opening up an independent pharmacy. So he said he's going to, it was kind of a brief conversation, 5 or 10 minutes, but he mentioned that he wants to try to make it more service-oriented and maybe do deliveries for people that live nearby. So I reached out and see if he maybe we'll hear from him and he wants to come by and say something for the CEC. We'll see. But I know we were trying to help him with some sign issues with the city as well.
Right.
With between the shopping center and that building, since they're different owners now. Anyway, so yeah, we've been trying to try to help that out further that along. So hopefully we'll have a new pharmacy soon that will be shopping center.
Yeah, very cool. Yes, right now.
I have one thing. I've been working with Keith and Joe on a survey to find out a better way that Food Line can serve the community. And the thing we're having an issue with is on how we're going to get the survey out. Would it be better to send out an email and y'all respond back on the email, or do what was it, Monkey Serve?
Survey Monkey.
That way, so y'all can do multiple choice. So which way would be better?
Survey Monkey is probably the easiest thing we want to get more most familiar with.
So
I think it's a great idea too.
Joey,
you can
get
Survey Monkey for like $19 for 1 month or something.
I've been working with Keith, and we have some questions, but I just felt like it might be kind of odd of trying to collect data based on y'all taking an email sending it back to us.
A lot easier with SurveyMonkey.
So that's what we'll do. I just wanted to make sure, and that would be out to y'all, I guess, and before the end of January, right?
It should be. It's brief. It's like at the moment.
10 questions.
Yes, 10 questions.
And I just want to know details on, so I can give it back to my corporate on how we can better serve and find out why some of the people in this area, like Mordecai and the governor mentioned all that, doesn't shop with their local food line. So I know some people shop at the Kroger's that's on 6th Floor, and some people even drive a little farther and shop at the Harris Teeter. And if it's something that we don't offer, like the organics and different things of that nature, we can bring in, but the only thing is, if we bring it in, we need y'all to shop here.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
So that'll be out in, I guess, at the end of January, beginning of February.
Excellent, okay. Once again, if you haven't signed in tonight, please do that before you leave, and take a sign with you if you'd like to help promote the CAC in your front yard. I also have cards out there that has information about the website and the mailing list, so if you're not on the mailing list, please get it signed up. And if there isn't anything else to mention, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Let's adjourn this meeting.
Okay, we are done. Thank you very much. See you in February.
Steve.